Hello and a warm welcome to a new AI Unplugged podcast from Digital Compact. My name is Eric van Muller. I'm your host today, and I'm a former Kano World Champion. I'm a family father, and I'm the founder of SolveMate. We at SolveMate have this AI-based platform for a better service experience, and our chatbots help customers solve their requests in seconds. As you know, at AI Unplugged, we talk about day-to-day topics around AI, easy and for everyone understandable. Today, it's a special episode. We are talking in English, and that's because I have a special guest with me. The topic of today's show is going to be AI and the future of conversational AI, how is going to change our communication towards machines. And on the other side of the table, there is Yoav Barrel, CEO of Chatbot Summit. If you don't know Chatbot Summit, it's one of the leading international conferences for conversational AI. This year, on May 13th, there's a new summit coming up in Las Vegas. So welcome, Yoav, and maybe say some words about you. Who are you and why are you an expert on that field?
Hi everyone, I'm the founder and CEO of the Chatbot Summit, which is one of the leading events for conversational AI. I started my career 2000 at Sun Microsystems, basically helping take Java from the desktop into mobile. From there, I went on to see the trend of mobile applications and how touchscreen is going to change the way we interact with technology as a major trend back then. And I had an honor to build one of the first e-commerce platforms for mobile apps. And in my last role, I was leading the mobile messaging revolution at LivePerson, basically enabling people to contact customer service via messaging channels and to chat with them just like we do with friends and family. And from there, I went to found the Chatbot Summit with a mission to help accelerate conversational AI by bringing all the leaders of this new technology into one place to meet, learn, and connect around making better experiences.
That's awesome. Looks like a very good value proposition to kind of on this super trending topic, which is like in everyone's minds in a certain way. You can ask everyone, and conversational AI and bots is something that just everywhere. Why is that such a mega trend?
Well, I think if you look at it at computational history and especially human technology interaction, in the past 70 years, or even if you can go back to 5,000 years, the first information technology was writing on stone tablets. Since then, I think that it is the first time in computational history, even in the modern one, where we are making an attempt that computers will understand our language versus us understanding what is a browser, how to use it, what is an app, how to use it. So it's the first time we just will be able to use our own language, be it via text or voice, and computers and machines will try and will be able to understand our language. So I think this is a major shift in computational history. For sure, it's a decade of new innovations, and one would say it might be a century of new innovations. So at least I think it's a major trend in the decade level.
Ihr Lieben, hier ist nochmal Joel von Digital Compact. Und jetzt alle, gebt mir ein D.
D.
Gebt mir ein I.
I.
Gebt mir ein Da. Da. Was macht das? Die da. Genau. So. Und wenn ihr euch jetzt fragt, ob Papa Joel nun völlig durchgeknallt ist, dann ist da wohl ein bisschen was dran. Aber vor allem werde ich hier zum männlichen Cheerleader, weil Dida nämlich der Name unseres neuen Partners ist, den ich euch an dieser Stelle gerne vorstellen möchte. Dida schreibt sich, wie ihr gerade gelernt habt, D-I-D-A und wird euch heute sicherlich nicht mehr aus dem Kopf gehen. Und Dida entwickelt Software zur Automatisierung von Prozessen. Konkret, wenn bei euch viel Zeit für Informationsextraktion aus technischen Zeichnungen, Verträgen, E-Mails, Produktbildern oder ähnliches draufgeht, dann kann Dida helfen. Am liebsten unterstützt Dida technische Entscheider oder arbeitet direkt mit internen Data Science Teams zusammen. Und nochmal ein paar Details, damit ihr es besser versteht. Der Fokus von Dida liegt auf der Mustererkennung in Text, also kennt man auch als Natural Language Processing, kurz NLP, und Bild, nämlich Machine Vision, wo das Unternehmen schon viele erfolgreiche Projekte, zum Beispiel für den Deutschen Wetterdienst, die ESA, Firmen aus M- und S-DAX, aber auch für größere Startups realisiert hat. Ihr merkt, das Team hat also viel Erfahrung darin, Machine Learning Projekte in Produktion zu bringen, und als Stichworte für Eingeweihte seien exemplarisch auch mal Python, TensorFlow, CUDA, Git, Docker, Open Source oder Clean Code genannt. Wenn das für dich interessant ist, hast du jetzt die einfachste zu merkende URL, die es gibt, nämlich dida.do. Also mit anderen Worten, Dida.do. Oder wie immer alle Infos auch in unseren Shownotes und auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/sponsoren.
That's great. So you basically say the way that we do not understand machines, but machines understand us is what makes the difference.
Yeah.
What was your first touchpoint with a bot? When was it? Do you remember?
You know, The first interaction I had with the bot, I wouldn't say it was with the bot, was conversational interface. And it was when I was at LivePerson. And so first of all, the online chats of websites of the previous generation of 10 years ago were pretty annoying. So I think these were my first interactions, which didn't work. And my first great experience was actually when we developed the first conversational messaging for T-Mobile back then. And I just saw the use cases and I was seeing how customers use it. It wasn't me, but I saw the interaction and how it made everything for everyone so much easier. The back end of it wasn't a bot, it was a human answering the conversation. But I think the emphasis is on the conversational aspect and the understanding of the natural language. And of course, from there, where the industry is developing is towards having automation and AI make this work at scale, either by having an integrated human and bot experience or 100% bot that automates it.
That's a super interesting topic. You just say basically the conversational interface is something different than, hey, you just take something on talking with a human and then you automate that in the second step. So maybe this is a good time of kind of defining some terms. So what is a conversational interface in your mind?
So conversational interface, I think, is more of a industry term. I think it's more about natural language. So if I am able to use my own language as a person to get things done, and of course, getting things done in human language carries a conversation, because back and forth, it has a context to it. So I think if we use our own language to get things done and machines make it happen, that's for me a conversational interface. And
is there also a back and forth thing? Like sending an email is like asynchronous. A conversation for me is like something back and forth that we are having.
Yeah. By the way, to some extent, an email, like in Japan, 15 years ago, their SMS was, the protocol was actually email. So they wouldn't send SMS, they would use email as a technology. For them, it was like SMS. So it's time of response, of course, is different when you use WhatsApp and when you use email. Mm-hmm. But both are asynchronous. So
Very good point. You have a technical background, so it's
sorry.
Very... No. By the definition, you are completely right that, of course, an email is asynchronous and the WhatsApp message and any kind of thing is asynchronous because it's not in real time. From a technical perspective,
yeah.
But I meant it more in a human, more synchronous way. That means maybe answering within a few seconds looks a real-time communication for me.
Yeah, so you're right. The real-time conversation aspect is definitely something that it differentiates, you know, conversational interfaces than email. And of course, it's not a dialogue, so you can't, like, you just barged into what I said, you can't do it in email. So of course, the dynamics there are different. So
but
I think
it's interesting to make the thought experiment. If I would send you an email and you would instantly reply, and I would instantly reply, this kind of would be a conversational interface in a certain way.
Yeah, I think email is conversation. But I don't think this is what we are about because it doesn't encapsulate the real time. But what is beautiful about a conversation via WhatsApp is that you can stop and continue it in 24 hours. I think that's the major shift. If you do a SWOT analysis on bots versus website apps and call center.
SWOT analysis.
If you take a technology and you say, what are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats?
Mm-hmm. Super cool acronym, SWOT.
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 Yeah.
Awesome.
Or I use a different term sometimes. What is the right to win of a technology?
Oh, that's very good.
Right to win. So the right to win, if you look at what bots provide, is on one hand, they're easier to use for the consumer and they allow you as a business to reduce cost. So they are superior technology to any other customer experience technology that was developed until today.
Why do you think it's superior for the end user and why it's reducing costs for the company?
So let's take three competing technologies or ways to interact. One is call center. The call center, and this goes back to the asynchronous aspect you mentioned. If I want to get on a call center, I'm calling a call center, a contact center, and now I'm stuck. It's real time, yes, but I can't, hey, listen, I'm entering a meeting, let's talk in 2 minutes, I'll get back to you, right? If it's a WhatsApp, hey, I need to change my billing address, and he's like, okay, what's your address? And I'm saying it's 123 Main Street. And then he says, okay, what's your zip code? And I entering a meeting, I can't 10 minutes later pull out the zip code and send to him, right? I need to now make another call. So bots is asynchronous, and it's real time compared to call center where it ties up your time. And if you compare bots to call center in terms of costs for the business itself, a customer service call would span between $2 to $8 for the business because you have the IT cost and you have the agent cost.
That's a number that I can clearly confirm. You know, SolveMate in the space of automating customer service, and I hear these numbers all the time. It's between $2 to $8 or euros that a call costs you, which is interesting if you think about you call your vendor once and they need to just pay on the payroll around €4 to make that happen. It's a ton of money and service requests are very repetitive and for, hey, I want to change my address or these things, kind of companies want to have this 24/7, easy to do, and also to not to have the agent deal with a complex task that require a human touch and to have like this empathetic customer service topic. But interesting. So please go on. I just wanted to say like the $2 to $8, I can clearly confirm this number depending on the type of business you're in.
Yeah, time of business, type of geo, obviously if it's in the US with a call center in Utah versus US call center in India versus India and call center in India. So yeah, it spans. Yeah, and I think numbers I've seen, there are like 300 billion calls a year times five as an average. It's a $1.5 trillion industry. So that's bots versus call center, which is a clear win for bots.
Yeah, you are a very competitive person. I got this also from our talk beforehand. So you're a winner and it's about what's the technology is going to win. Maybe they can also coexist, but we come to that in a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I get the point. You basically say it's just a super expensive thing to have these tens or hundreds of agents sitting there waiting for your call. And then as an end consumer, I find it really interesting that you said this. You want to have both asynchronous and real time. That means if you can get things done now, you sometimes need to go back and forth and provide something or find your solution, but you can also just stop here, pause for an hour and come back, which is the best of both worlds, which is interesting. And also with email as like a third channel, you only have the asynchronous and not the real time aspect. So bots are combining these two. It's the best of both worlds.
And then if you compare bots to apps, so again, you have ways that apps are actually easier to use, but at the end of the day, when bots will be developed to a way that they will be mature as apps are mature today. If you take a certain population, they will much easier get up to speed with a conversational interface that they speak to it, like they speak with their friends and family now, then knowing how to download an app. What does these three things mean? It's a menu, and then I go into settings. I mean, my daughter, she's 4 years old. She wanted me
My daughter is also 4 years old.
Really?
Yes. Super cool.
Cool. So yesterday morning, she was asking me to change the volume of her movie that she was watching on the iPad. And I didn't know where to find the volume. Now, she couldn't also, but it took us like 30 seconds to find it. 30 seconds is a long time today. And why? Why can't you just, you know, message it or speak to it and say, change volume down, you know? I think in conversational interfaces, if you look at different use cases, there are many use cases that's just going to be far easier to just change the interaction to natural language. And then websites.
It would be much easier if you could have just said to any kind of bot, hey, please change the volume. So that's something really clear. Quickly coming back to this, we've talked about conversational interface, and then you had something like channels, like how you can interact. We had call centers and emails and bots. What kind of different types of channels do you see? There is the chatbot, there is voice. There are other ways to interact with machines or with other humans.
So I think if you look at channels, first of all, the main channels today are the messaging apps. You know, WhatsApp, Apple Business Chat is on iMessage. And then you have the WeChats of the world in Asia. And basically all the messaging apps, by the way, also SMS. And now operators are making a strong play with RCS, Rich Communication Services.
RCS, what does it mean?
Rich Communication Services, basically a glorified SMS.
Glorified SMS? It's like any messaging I'm using every day.
It's like what MMS didn't do, the multimedia messaging, and it's basically the WhatsApp version of operators.
Okay. And is it one of the central themes of your conference, or is it something that you see in the market of conversational AI?
In my 20 years experience in the market, 18 years of those, I worked with telecom operators, and they've been trying to do many things and weren't successful in all of them. It's yet to be seen whether this is going to succeed or not. I think RCS should have been invented 15 years ago.
Ihr Lieben, hier ist nochmal Joel von Digital Kompakt. Und wer uns die Tage zugehört hat, ist ja kaum an der begeisterten Prahlerei über unser neues Büro vorbeigekommen. Wir haben uns nämlich wirklich eine designige Wohlfühloase geschaffen und ein wichtiger Baustein dabei war unser Partner Connox. Connox ist ein Online-Shop für Wohndesign, bei dem ihr mehr als 29.000 kuratierte Wohnaccessoires und Möbelstücke findet, mit denen ihr euer Zuhause oder auch euer Büro, wie man bei uns sieht, ganz individuell einrichten könnt. Wir haben unser Büro wirklich gerade mit einigen coolen Stühlen und vor allem auch Accessoires von Connox ausgestattet und sind echt zufrieden mit dem Look und dem Komfort der Designerstücke, vor allem aber mit dem ganzen Prozess dahinter. Wenn ihr zum Beispiel Fragen rund um das Thema Einrichten habt, liefert der Shop hilfreiche Antworten sowie tausende Designklassiker und vielversprechende Neuheiten, die den Raum halt wirklich verwandeln und euer Wohlbefinden damit einfach steigern. Und egal, ob es jetzt die praktische Kabelorganisation sein soll oder eine stylische Schreibtischbeleuchtung oder auch die komplette Wohnzimmereinrichtung, Connox bietet wirklich für jedes Wohnvorhaben die passende Lösung. Und übrigens, das finde ich besonders cool, das Unternehmen gleich seit diesem Jahr die Emissionen seiner Geschäftsaktivitäten vollständig über die Unterstützung von Klimaschutzprojekten aus, sodass ihr die Möbel sogar klimaneutral bestellt. Wenn das auch für dich interessant ist, wenn du sagst, oh Mann, ich muss wissen, wo kriege ich gute Designmöbel her mit geilem Service, dann schau dir Connox jetzt einfach mal selbst an unter digitalkompakt.de/connox. Connox. Und Connox schreibt sich mit C. C-O-N-N-O-X. Wie immer verlinke ich dir das aber auch nochmal in den Shownotes und auf unserer Sponsorenseite unter digitalkompakt.de/sponsoren.
But operators were happy with charging for SMS. It was a major revenue driver. And then came WhatsApp, and they call it over-the-top app. So yeah, as a consumer, I hope that our RCS will succeed. Also, as an industry player, I hope it's going to succeed. And I think Google are, by the way, making a strong play on that, because they failed with their own attempt of trying to create their own.
What is Google currently doing with messaging?
They tried to do many things and failed in many of them.
Which is also good to try a lot of things,
yeah,
to try and break things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
What I love about Google, they try and they know to say we failed and stop, right? They're not gonna, you know, Microsoft has made so many attempts in mobile and never gave up, which is also great. But I think Google have a tendency to stop quicker when they see things don't work. So Allo was an attempt of Google with their messaging app. I don't know if you've ever
downloaded. I've heard of Allo. But
it was a great app, by the way.
I don't know it anymore.
Yeah, it's discontinued, at least. I've never heard of it since 2 years ago.
Same happened also with Facebook M, with like their digital assistant.
Yeah, Facebook also have the mentality that they know to give up when needed, except for Messenger, which I think they're continuing. But now they're realizing WhatsApp is just a superior app, I think. But if you look at Google, they're making a strong play with RCS, because the native Android SMS client would be RCS enabled. So basically, you as a consumer would be able to use RCS instead of using your WhatsApp, just like you were going to use with iMessage. So the native iPhone default is iMessage. Mm-hmm. So if you message from an iPhone to an iPhone, it uses iMessage. So that's what Google wants to accomplish with Android and SMS.
Very interesting insight on a strategic level. I haven't thought about that yet, that iMessage is a protocol between iPhones and that there might be something which Google want to achieve there. Interesting insight.
By the way, the average American doesn't know that they're using iMessage. They just say we're texting. They don't know that the underlying technology is Apple's iMessage.
Which you also shouldn't know as an end consumer. It should just work for you.
Exactly.
And it's irrelevant whether this button is green and it's sending a message or it's blue. And only because I was super tech savvy, I Googled for why is there green and blue messages.
You and I know, but the average consumer doesn't. And Apple are now making a strong play with Apple Business Chat. I mean, when you will Google on Safari a business, you'll have a call button, and now you'll have also a message button. And that message is going to open your iMessage, and you're going to be able to interact with customer service via iMessage seamlessly.
For our listeners, you need to have seen with which conviction Joav just said this. You're really into these conversational AI topics. I can feel that, and I hope our listeners can feel that too. So basically, we talked about there is channels, which is Apple Business Chat, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, WeChat, which is a messaging interface. And you kind of say that all the big corporations, especially Facebook with WhatsApp and Google on the Android level and Apple on the business chat, they want to own the conversation because, mm-hmm, of course, you can also get the data. And you just made an interesting example of, let's assume I'm looking for a business on my iPhone, on Safari, I'm going to chat. This is kind of another front-end channel, and companies need to deal with all this omni-channel communication,
yeah,
which the agent is going to sit in some kind of, you know, ticketing system or whatever. And then kind of there's an overflow of messages, so that's where the automation comes in. You're having the chatbot summit, or it's about conversational AI and not about how humans connect with humans, right?
Yeah, of course. And by the way, regarding the channels, I just want to complete the view. You have also the messaging capability within the website, which we know as the chat. And another growing platform is voice. So voice enabled on the mobile devices, or voice enabled as part of a virtual assistant speaker. So those I call the messaging platforms, voice I call voice platforms. Both could be called messaging. So messaging is text, and voice platforms is for voice.
Yeah, but both are conversational interfaces.
Yes.
Good. So from now on, everyone needs to use these words. That's good. I'm totally with you. I'm using voice, for example, to tell Siri to make a timer for a meeting. If I want to have a certain time and then it rings, I'm not going to the menu and typing it. I'm saying, Siri, please hit a timer, or Siri, what's the weather today? Would you call this also a conversational bot experience?
Yeah, of course. Yes, for sure. It's voice enabled. It's conversational. I think it's even more conversational than messaging. You know, people know how to speak and listen before they know how to read it right. So it's even more natural.
That's very interesting. Like, you know, we both having small kids. I learned that my kids learned the concept of irony at the age of 5 or 6. So before that, you make jokes and they don't get it. And then at a certain point, I had my kids going through the age, I realized now I can start making jokes and they will kind of find them funny. Like every adult is understanding them, but you need to hear millions and millions of words to understand irony and sarcasm, and kind of to say sometimes you mean it how you say it and sometimes it's the opposite, which is something super hard to do for machines and how to learn from machines, of course. What I wanted to come to is, if we deal with machines more, and kind of, I'm asking Siri, can you do this and that? Will this affect the conversation between humans?
I think it might impact the culture. When you talk with a friend, the communication is different if you're face-to-face or if you're speaking over the phone or if you're WhatsApping, right? It's different.
Sometimes you're just sending an emoji to persons, yeah. But you can't send emojis to bots. So it's a bit different. Or maybe you can in the future.
Exactly. I think also when you're face-to-face, there's also the facial and the gesture and the, just like you said, look, you're very passionate. Why did you think I'm passionate? Maybe I did something with my hands,
yeah.
Right? So, or you saw something in my gesture. So I think that it's also related to that. But I think back to your original question, whether interacting with machines will impact how we interact with humans, I think it's on the sidelines. I think it's more we will speak to machines more like we speak to humans, so we will feel obliged to say thank you if Siri will be able to do something that's magnificent for us that we didn't expect. I think you'll find yourself saying, thanks, Siri. And she's like, you're welcome.
That's interesting. I once heard a study that people are much more likely to get rude to bots than they would be to humans. I mean, it's kind of understandable that, hey, if a bot is not working well, especially in the early days of chatbots when they sucked and they still very often are not on a level that is good, to just get rude to a bot because it's not a human that is insulted. But once you have a human agent, kind of you're much more kind. And you're just saying, which is interesting, if bots get more helpful, you're more inclined to say thank you.
Yeah, and I don't know how this plays out. I think some people also get on a phone call with an agent and they had a bad day and they just feel that they can maybe raise their voice. And if it's a bot, they would not have raised their voice. I don't have a clear view on how this will play out, to be honest. I mean, it could play out anyway.
Maybe it's going to be both. Maybe our communication is changing towards how we communicate with bots, or the other way around, the bots are going to get more personal.
Yeah, that's for sure. And conversations are going to be more natural. You know, it's just when these things happen, they tend to happen very fast. So once more and more people will use conversation and natural language to interact with computers, computers will be better. So Alexa is improving every day. Siri is improving every day. Google Home, Google Assistant is improving every day. So it's all based on improved computational power and more data. The more data you have and the cheaper computational power becomes, the better algorithms will be developed and specific for natural language. Data is critical for this advancement.
Do you have an Alexa or like a voice assistant at home?
I have all of them.
Good to ask the CEO of Chatbot Summit whether you have voice assistants at home. Of course, I assume that we didn't talk about it up front. So without making any marketing or so, which one works best and what do you do with them? That's the more important thing. How do you use your voice assistants on a day-to-day basis?
Ihr Lieben, hier ist nochmal Joel von Digital Kompakt und wir haben mittlerweile derartig viele Podcasts auf Digital Kompakt veröffentlicht, wirklich über 300, dass ihr quasi wochenlang in die Tiefe graben könnt und super spannenden Content entdeckt. So, und weil wir aber gemerkt haben, dass viele von euch nicht so viel Zeit haben und vielleicht auch nicht die Muße, immer so weit runter zu scrollen und neue Anzeigen zu lassen, wollen wir euch das Finden von tollem Content gerne erleichtern. Deshalb fangen wir am Freitag an, da beginnen unsere Golden Classics. Einmal im Monat werden wir einen alten Podcast, der bei uns schon gelaufen ist, den wir aber sehr, sehr gut halten, quasi nochmal republishen. Also ihr könnt euch einen alten, sehr, sehr hochwertigen Podcast so super aufwandsarm und einfach nochmal anhören. Und wie gesagt, das sind Folgen, von denen wir denken, dass sie euch sehr, sehr viel Wert stiften werden. Und wir beginnen am Freitag mit einem Podcast zum Thema Leadership. Das heißt, wenn ihr das Thema Konflikte öfters bei euch habt, dann könnt ihr am Freitag in unserem Golden Classic viel lernen. Darum, ich hoffe, ihr seid dabei. Fleißig, fleißig einschalten.
Well, first of all, I love the scenery of my living room with the lights. I have different themes, so if I'm back home from work and I want a different setting for the light, I use Philips Hue together with Alexa or Google, so that I sort of set the scene if I'm having dinner or watching a movie. It makes life easier, and it does sound like a small thing, but you know...
This is only a first world problem. All these conversational air topics is nothing that you need for a living. It's only making your already good life better.
Yes, but you know why it works, in my opinion. When you are at rest, let's go back to us as humans, like millions of years back, you are either rest or you are looking for food, right? So you're fight or flight and you rest. When you're at rest, 25% of your energy goes to the brain. Your basic needs are to preserve energy. And even a simple task as going to your iPhone and trying to switch the lights is something that takes energy from the brain. And if you can just say a word and it happens, then you'll be more inclined to do it. So that's why simple tasks that the app revolution made it easier to use apps than websites, they prevailed. So any technology It's going to help us consume less oxygen from our brain to get things done in a meaningful way as a technology that will have an impact. So just a small example, I also use Alexa for, I meditate every day. So instead of going to my iPhone and trying to find the latest Headspace, I just say, Alexa, play Headspace, and she's running the meditation for me. I have a ritual, the morning routine for the kids. So Alexa and Google, we have skills, and she's sort of giving them some cues when they need to be ready for school. So that works pretty well.
Oh, that's super awesome. For every dads and moms that hear it, that's super good. You know, we have done this. I'm also a very tech guy, but maybe not with that kind of tech developer experience. We have a clock that has like a star, and we say, if the clock hits the star, kind of they can see the clock moving. And then we say, okay, it's time for you to go. But it would be awesome if like there is this voice assistant saying, hey, it's just 5 minutes to go. It's time to get dressed. It's awesome. It's a very good idea.
You should try it. By the way, it takes a lot of friction of, hey, put your shoes on, because they know that the certain cue that they need to get their shoes on and be ready. That works. Music, play music. You know, Amazon just came to Israel, so we're starting to add things to the shopping list. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is on the sidelines, to be honest. I think that the big innovations will come when we'll have more integrated experiences to get things done for customer service, for flights, for transactions that need to get done. I think voice, by the way, is 2 years behind messaging and chat, so I think it's still early stages.
It's very interesting to come from a biological level of consumption of oxygen to you want to rest and you want to save time. Because SolarWinds' mission is to save time to people, to the end consumers, and to the service agents. And every technology, which is a very bold statement, but I believe it's kind of true, that saves time to people or makes their life more convenient, whether it's end consumers or it's business people or everyone, will prevail. Yeah. It's like if you just look on the e-commerce space, which was saving people time to shop, which makes it just easier to get things. And then it got even easier to get your groceries delivered. And then you have software to take notes. I'm just taking notes on a tablet PC that is also a normal PC, and it's just making my life much more convenient than printing out paper and taking a physical pen. So I really like this, having less oxygen, and especially either you're working and then also you want to save time, but especially at rest, which
you want to save energy.
You want to save energy, and everything that you do with a voice assistant is while you're at rest, mostly at home or in the car, but also if you have other use cases where you interact with bots, it's mostly if you want to get things done and you don't have the time to wait or to call a second time the call center to kind of take this thing back because you just want to get things done on first contact. How do you think the blend between bots and human is going to be in the future?
So, liebe Hörer, für heute sind wir schon wieder am Ende unseres Podcasts angelangt. Wenn euch das Thema aber noch weiter interessiert, habt ihr die Möglichkeit, euch auf Patreon extra lange Podcasts von uns zu besorgen. Also quasi jeweils einen Director's Cut, der noch einmal 10-20% länger ist und dementsprechend mehr Inhalt bietet. Patreon schreibt sich wieder Patron, nur mit E dazwischen, also Patreon. Und unter patreon.com/dkompakt könnt ihr euch für monatlich ein paar Taler besagte extra lange Podcasts klicken. Dort ist dann übrigens auch keine Werbung enthalten, sondern diese wird ans Ende geschnitten und auch sonst kommt ihr in den Genuss unterschiedlicher Extra-Inhalte wie unser Recherchematerial, die Teilnahme an all unseren Gewinnspielen und. Uns freut es natürlich sehr, wenn wir euch für diese Bonusinhalte begeistern können. Ansonsten vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und auf bald.